Hello everyone. Let us now discuss some of the emerging trends in IT. This is chapter 6, encapsulating enterprise IT solutions. So till now what we've discussed is how IT solutions are planned, how are they designed, how are they implemented. We looked at the broader range of technologies that are deployed in case of an enterprise solution. We started our conversation with ERP solutions. What do they mean? We looked at the evolution of ERP. We looked at the different modules that are included in an ERP. So like a CRM, a SCM, a SRM, right? So we basically looked at how ERP systems have to be designed. We looked at the different vendors, vendors like SAP, Oracle, Microsoft Dynamics. What are their offerings? How do they shape up? What are the benefits of each? So we had a look at the different ERP vendors. So ERP basically again is a software piece that resides on underlying hardware, and we discussed the enterprise IT infrastructure. We spoke about the network components, how the network has to be shaped up. We spoke about how enterprise networks are. We spoke about the switching architectures, the two-tier, three-tier switching architectures. We spoke about firewalls. So these are basically the underlying infrastructure technologies on which the applications reside. We then had a look at the data center components, RTO, RPO, what are the different data center technologies that go in. We discussed in detail about the different security frameworks. We spoke a lot about cybersecurity, how cybersecurity is impacting the business dynamics. So now let us look at some of the disruptive technologies that are seen in the marketplace right now. And this probably helps you to envisage that where is the industry headed to. I spoke a lot about artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning. Right. So let us give a structure to the new concepts in IT. So let us look at some of the disruptions that are expected in the marketplace in 2019, 2020 and going forward. So let us look at them. So as I said, in this chapter, we'll discuss some of the disruptive technologies that analysts like Gartner are predicting, which will create a big impact on the way companies are doing their business. So the disruptive technologies and trends, the potential scope of impact is very broad, as I said, right? Starting from AI, that is artificial intelligence, how it learns, bases the user behavior, how it can relate information, what the users are gathering, how it can, you know, it can be used for doing some predictive analysis, doing the sales forecasting and stuff like that. So, to be economically disruptive, a technology must have a broad reach. So, touch many users, touch many companies, industries, and it should affect a large range of machines, products, and services. So, a technology which touches lives everywhere, so is a technology which can be used to disrupt the way things happen in a traditional environment. Disruptive technologies typically demonstrate a rapid rate of change in capabilities in terms of the price, performance, relative to substitutes or alternative approaches that are there in the market, or they experience breakthroughs that drive accelerated cases of change or discontinuous capability improvements. So, as I said, these technologies, they just disrupt the way things happen. I can just relate this case to virtualization, right? So, earlier what used to happen was every server used to have their own applications inbuilt, but with virtualization coming in, it disrupted the entire server market. Through virtualization, there were a lot of virtual machines that were created on the same physical machine, and this absolutely revolutionized the way the server industry worked. Significant economic value can be affected through disruptive technologies. An economically disruptive technology must have the potential to create massive economic impact. So that's the heart of any disruptive technology. The economic impact is potentially disruptive. We said that. Technologies that matter have the potential to dramatically change that status quo, right? So because they are disruptive in its own nature, they would constantly challenge the way business are run and thereby bring about a positive change. So let us look at some of the disruptive technologies that Gartner has predicted. So in the Gartner's forecast for the top strategic trends for 2019, they had a list of 10 different trends, and these were autonomous things, augmented reality, AI driven development, digital twins, empowered edge, immersive experience, blockchain, smart spaces, digital ethics and privacy, and quantum computing. So let us understand each of them in a little detail, because it's not possible to deep dive into each of them, but then this will give you a fair bit of idea as to where the industry is headed. So this diagram talks about all the 10 trends that Gartner is predicting. So if I have to talk about the intelligent trends, so it could be intelligent people, intelligent things, intelligent processes. So the first layer forms the three top trends. So that is autonomous things, augmented analytics, and AI driven development. So these are all intelligent disruptions in its own nature, which cause an impact. The next are the digital trends. So it starts with the digital twins. So if I have a human body and I can clone it to have a digital twin, how that digital twin will have an impact on the overall scheme of things is what digital twins is all about. Empowered edge is getting information closer to the user, so that the time taken for the information to reach the user is really less, and we'll discuss that in more detail as well. And the third of the digital trend is the immersive experience. Now we all understand that, you know, talking to one another was fine, but then what has happened is slowly the talking has reached another level. We now want to see each other when we talk, right? So that's giving rise to the video chats. So if you can relate to the WhatsApp chat, right? So earlier it was one-to-one chat, but then people wanted it to be in a group chat, so then they came up with this feature. So everywhere the immersive user experience is really wanted. So there are a lot of innovations happening around the world of innovative digital experience, so as to have immersive presence. So that is the immersive experience that I'll talk about. And then there are few of the mesh technologies. So one is blockchain, which everyone is talking about. So what is a blockchain? How does it impact the way business is done? So I'll just explain it in a very high level language so that you can just relate to it. And we'll also talk about smart spaces. So how things are getting smarter in your workplace, how the evolution is changing to smart cities, what does it mean in a smart city deployment. And then there are two different themes which run across all these three pillars. So that is the privacy and ethics. So because data is everywhere, companies have your data, they know virtually what are you doing. So how that data can be used, can be misused. So we'll talk about that. And the last is quantum computing. Now this is a new entrant, and it will absolutely disrupt the way computing is done. So be it for large pharmaceutical companies, large chemical companies, because it will just revolutionize the way the business modeling used to happen. So we'll discuss about that as well. So first we start with autonomous things. Now autonomous things such as robots or drones or vehicles, they use AI or artificial intelligence to automate the functions that were caused that were previously performed by humans, right? So autonomous things could be anything from right from a connected car. So connected car is something which relays the information back to the command center. So you have driverless cars nowadays, right? So it's about the automated things. So this automation goes beyond the automation provided by the traditional programming models, and they explore now artificial intelligence to deliver advanced behaviors that interact more naturally with the surroundings and with the people. So as autonomous things, now this could be as I said, it could be a car, it could be a drone, it could be the way traditional mobile phones work. So these autonomous things, as they proliferate, we expect a shift from the standalone intelligent system to an entire system of collaborative intelligence things, right? So say if the car, the connected car, if it has to relay information, so it works in a smart city, it could relay information to the smart center, smart sensor, and this smart sensor could then relay the information back to the command center. So it's all connected together, and it is actually independent of people, or it could be so without any human interaction, or it can be with some human interaction, right? So autonomous things can, as I said, so a simple example is that of a driverless car, right? A driverless car, it does not require a human input, but then it could also be self-driven. So the autonomous things can either be, they can either work with or without a human interaction. Again, so I give you the example of a drone, right? So consider that there is a drone a company has designed, and the drone found out that there is a large area which is vacant and it's ready for harvesting. So what the drone will do is that basis the different data points, it will then probably, you know, order an autonomous harvester, or probably in the delivery market, the most efficient solution to use would be an autonomous vehicle to move the packages to the target area. And so this entirely would be a collaborative event that would happen. Robots or drones could be onboarded. Vehicle would then ensure the final delivery of goods, right? So it's all a connected world. So this is the end points, or the end devices which would be used in the entire scheme of things. So this is what autonomous things are. Let us now look at augmented analysis. So augmented analytics focuses on a specific area of intelligence using machine learning to transform how analytic content is developed, consumed and shared. Now augmented analytics is not meant to actually replace people, right? Because people would generally think that, you know, when with AI coming in, it's actually meant to replace people. But then augmented analysis or augmented analytics is not here to replace people, but then it is here to augment people with more business insights. So augmented insights from augmented analytics will be embedded in virtually all enterprise applications. So say for example, the HR, finance, sales, so all other marketing departments, to optimize the way decisions are made and the actions within that particular context is then generating a business insights or not. So it's not just related to the analytics or the data scientists, but then it could bring about a change in terms of getting a real meteor analysis, so to say. So augmented analytic capabilities will advance rapidly to mainstream adoption, a key feature of data preparation, data management, modern analytics, business process management, process mining and data platforms. So just take an example of a sales representative, right? So he might want to do some kind of sales forecast to know what is the quota that he will have for the next year. Now using augmented analysis, the system which is designed using ML and AI, system will calculate basis the market trends, analysis of that big data, that what are the different touch points that are available, and basis the touch points, it will provide an output which would earlier have not been possible with the basic intelligence of a sales guy, right? So this is the kind of augmented analytics that I was talking about. It will basically utilize all the different touch points that are possible in the system, and this will lead to a citizen data science. So what is a citizen data science? It's an emerging set of capabilities, practices that enable users whose main job is outside the field of statistics. So no longer you require data scientists to actually generate those insights from data, but then it will be virtually everywhere. So across 2020, the number of citizen data scientists will grow 5 times faster than the number of data scientists. Now these are citizen data science and not the data scientists. Organizations can use the citizen data scientists to fill the data science and machine learning talent gap caused by the shortage and high cost of this data scientists, right? So because they will foster a platform which will be self-learning, right? And anyone else could basically make use of that. So that is what augmented analytics is all about. The third is the AI driven development. So the market is rapidly shifting from an approach in which professional data scientists must partner with application developers to create most AI enhanced solution to model in which a professional developer can operate alone using the predefined models delivered as a service. So it's easier to create AI enabled systems now. We will see AI enabled automated code generation, right? So this is just too futuristic, right? So what the AI engine would do is that basis the need that it sees, it will generate a application code by itself. So currently as we speak today, there are a lot of engines in place where artificial intelligence is used to enable the testing tools, right? So this is taking it to another level. You would see the AI enabled automated code development happening. By 2020, it is predicted that at least 40% of the new application development projects will have AI code developers as their core team, right? So ultimately, a highly advanced AI powered development environment automating both the functional and the non-functional aspects will give rise to the customer application developer. So customer application developer, this is a non-professional person who does not absolutely have insights into data science, but he will be able to use the AI driven tools to automate and generate the new solutions. Now I know I'm sounding too futuristic, or probably I'm not, you know, trying to convey the right things, but then these things are a little complex. So if you understand what artificial intelligence is all about, this is taking artificial intelligence and machine learning to another level. So what it is said is that artificial learning is basically a tool which learns basis the things that are happening around you. But then to use a AI engine, it requires a data scientist in place. So using a citizen application developer, people can actually start using these models by themselves. So the systems would drive a new level of flexibility, right? So that is the whole crux of the AI driven development. The fourth trend that Gartner predicts is that of digital twins. Now digital twin refers to the digital representation of a real world entity or a system. Now what does this mean? Let me take you to an example of, say, a manufacturing company. Now, say a company wants to develop a machine which would excavate or probably dig into the earth and then extract the valuable resources. Now, and just believe me, it's something that is really new and the company is exploring, trying to do that. Now, before actually making the model, the real physical model of that, what the company can do is it can create a digital replica of what it is intending to do, correct? Now, all the prototypes, all the functionalities, it can be simulated in a virtual environment. How the device will operate can also be simulated in that virtual environment. So what you're doing is you are actually creating a digital twin for that particular machine. And digital twin can be made for anything. It could be for people, it could be for processes, it could be for things. We spoke about robots, we spoke about drones, right? So a digital twin could be for anyone. It could be for a process, it could be for a robot, it could be for anything. Now this will evolve over time, and improvising the ability to collect and visualize the right data, apply the right analytics and rules, and then respond to the business challenges. Now this, using this digital twin technology, the models that are created, it can be further modified. You can have version 1, version 2, version 3, and you can also have a real life physical machine in place. So as and when the virtual model or the digital twin, as you change it, probably change some of the code to change the way it operates. The same could be replicated in your physical twin. So what would happen is that a lot of cost could be saved before the machine actually performs the job on ground. People would actually understand how it is supposed to do, what is the output that it will generate. Yeah, so probably you should relate it to saying that it's kind of a virtual twin of the real machine, and this virtual twin is absolutely working in the real world. So if you have to talk about, say, simulations, and a lot of flight simulations are really common nowadays, but then it will take the flight simulations to another level. So just imagine a situation: if a company is creating an aircraft, but you already have a virtual aircraft in place, and it predicts 100% the same behavior that a physical aircraft would do, right? So that's really revolutionary, right? So that is what is digital twin all about. So it refers to a representation of the real world entity or the system.